So we're going to continue on with our series we started last week in Colossians, and we're calling it Coming Into Focus because Paul's going to be talking to us about being able to focus in on what's really important in life. And so we talked about how the world is always bombarding us with different images and different ideas about what we think should be important as we're trying to live and do our thing. But God is going to tell us in Colossians through Paul about what is important to him so that we, as we're trying to figure out what things do I need to focus on in my life? Where are those big benchmarks in my life that I need to just dig in? God's going to show us that through Colossians. And I don't think you're going to be super surprised because God is always doing a thing. He's doing something in you guys. He's doing something 2,000 years ago when this book was written. And it doesn't change because he doesn't change. The thing is, we need to be willing to listen. So tonight, as we open up the word, I want to ask you, will you be willing to listen tonight? Be willing to just open up your heart and say, man, God, whatever it is you have to tell me tonight, whatever corrections maybe in my thinking that you need to refocus in me, just do it. Please do it. But I want to ask you, would you have an open heart tonight? So as we hear what God has to say, you're willing to refocus in and look out and see a whole different world around you, a whole different life, a bunch of different choices because God's saying this is actually what's important tonight. So if I came up here tonight, right, and I had this massive, all right, well, let me start this way, all right? So I was on this trip, and we stopped at this gas station, and I'm a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup fan. Any Reese's Peanut Butter Cup fans in the room? Like Reese's are, Peanut Butter Cups are the best. You're lying if you don't think that, unless you have a peanut allergy, but then you're just jealous of us, because you still know it's the best, right? So I go in, and what do I see? It's like angels from heaven shining down on this one like case that had this like 2 pound Reese's peanut butter cup. I think it was 1 or 2 pounds. It was massive. Like it looked like a pie. It was this massive peanut butter cup. And so of course I buy it and try to eat it, right? And like, cause who's not going to do that? It is the most incredible thing. So let's say tonight I had a 2 pound Reese's peanut butter cup tonight. And I was like, that's your prize. And you come up and you're so excited to have this win this peanut butter cup. And I'm like, here's what you have to do. Actually, you know what? Forget that. I'm just not going to tell you what you have to do. You just have to figure it out and do it. And if you can, then you win. What would your reaction be? You'd be like, this old man has lost it. What is he thinking? That's so unfair, right? Because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. How am I going to win this peanut butter cup? I'm going to take this old guy's knees out and steal it and run. Like, that's what I'm going to do tonight because you haven't given me what? Directions. You haven't given me instructions. You haven't told me what it is you want me to do. That would seem really, really unfair, right? So the right thing would be for me to say, here's what you need to do. I want you to spin around 5 times and then quack like a duck and then sit down. And then you do it and you win and it's very clear and I've laid out to you what it is you need to do. But if I don't, that's almost cruel, right? To be like, hey, here's this amazing prize that you really want. I know you're going to love it, but I'm not telling you how to win it. That's cruel, right? Like it's just not right. And so we would approach our Christianity sometimes and be like, God, like I have no idea what to do down here. Why haven't you told me what to do? Where are the instructions? What is it you want for my life? I don't know how to walk this Christian walk. And you know what? Sometimes that's how we approach it. I hear us talk to each other or our Sunday school teachers. We have this conversation like as if God hasn't already told us. But see, God isn't cruel. God has told us. He already spoke to us. He wrote it down in the Bible. Tonight, we're going to see that God has a clear and plain will for you and for me. So when you wake up in the morning, you're like, I just don't know what God wants me to do today, so I'm just going to do my thing. That's a lie. That's a lie that you're telling yourself every time you say that. Because God has been clear and wants to be clear and wants you to know the directions. Remember, this whole book is about bringing it into focus so that you'll see what it is God's calling you to do and asking of you. So he's not calling you into this thing and saying, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Good luck. Hopefully you win heaven. Hopefully you get to arrive at paradise. Like hopefully you get to have a relationship with me, but I'm not helping you out or telling you how to do it. That's not what God's doing. And it sounds funny when I say it that way, but listen, like we really do approach Christianity that way sometimes. We approach our relationship with God as if like he's not told us how to do this. So, oh, well, let's just see what happens. How often are you opening up God's word and reading what it is he has to tell you? How many mornings go by that you don't even open the book? How many opportunities do you have when you're facing something where you don't stop and pray and talk to him and bring it before him? How many times do we face life going, God hasn't really said anything about this? Because that's a lie. He has. He's spoken to us and he's telling us how to do it. If we're willing to stop and have that relationship with him, to read his word and hear from him, to pray and to talk to him, to do life with God. Because he's given us the instructions. He's told us what he wants. And he wants it to be clear and in focus for us. And so Paul's going to say that tonight. Read with me Colossians 1, 9 to 14 we're going to read tonight. It says this. And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with what? With the knowledge of his will. Did you hear that? He's constantly praying for them, that they would be filled with this, the knowledge of God's will. Isn't that exactly what we're talking about tonight? Isn't that what so many times we've sat there and said, we just don't know? And Paul's saying, you can know it, and I'm praying that you will. I want you to know God's will. He says, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Not just a little bit of it, all of it, in every possible way you could know it, he's praying that. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Man, this is a big, big portion of Paul's message tonight. This truth is deep and it's life-changing, and I hope you hear it because it can transform you if you grasp what it's saying. Paul is telling us, look at verse 9, how fervently he prays for these people. Remember, because last week we talked about how he said, man, you guys from the beginning, it's been evident that you love Jesus. It's been evident that Jesus, when you received him and surrendered your life, Jesus came in and he turned your life upside down in a great way. He's changed you guys, and I can see that you're living for him and that you love him and that you belong to Jesus. And therefore, he says, listen, I've been praying. I've been praying like crazy because I know you want to follow after Jesus. And so I've been down on my knees, and we have been down on our knees begging God to do a thing in you. And look what he says. He says, from the day we heard it, right? That's when they started. They're praying. He says, we haven't ceased. They haven't stopped praying for them. This is a constant rhythm in their life to remember them and pray for them. How often do you pray? How often do you talk to your Creator? How many times do you go throughout your day and just ignore that he's even there? He's the most real person in the room. And yet we ignore him like he's some fairy tale. How often do you pray for the people in your life? This isn't a competition, but it's pretty awesome to see what someone who's on fire for Jesus and loves God can do. When the Holy Spirit fills your heart, you want to pray. You want to talk to him. You want to bring the people you love before him and say, God, will you bless my parents today? Will you cause them to walk in a manner worthy of you? Will you cause them to speak your love to other people? Will you fill their hearts up with your Holy Spirit? God, will you do something through my parents and in my parents today? Will you be with my teachers today? Will you be with my friends? Like, we want to bring those people before the Lord. And it says that Paul did it. He had this rhythm where he never missed. He constantly was praying and remembering them before the Lord. You're here today and like, I believe in Jesus. I'm walking with him. Listen, let this be a rhythm in your life. Take it seriously. Take prayer seriously. Where you're like, God can really do stuff. And God wants to do stuff in people's lives. Like, he wants to show up in big, powerful ways that will blow your mind. And he's waiting. He's just like, just pray for it. Being patient. He's allowing you to be a part of it by letting you pray and be a part of the story and ask him so he can show up and blow your mind with what he's going to do. So ask him. What's holding you back? What's stopping you? Paul got it. And so Paul's there. He's like, man, I am not ever stopping to pray for you. It's constant in my life. It's this rhythm that just happens because I want God to move powerfully in you. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pause for 3 minutes. And if you guys will turn the lights on just a low little bit here so we can see each other, the house lights. I want you to look around you and get in just a small group. And we're going to take 3 minutes and we're just going to pray for each other really quick. And we're going to say this tonight. Hold on before you make noise and move around. Don't mess around. I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. Be adults tonight. I'm going to ask you to take this moment serious because I'm taking it very seriously. God's word said we should be people of prayer. And I'm asking you for the next 3 minutes, be serious and seriously pray for the people around you. Ask God for things in their life. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And if you're too scared, sit there and quietly do it in your heart. But let's be people of prayer right now. We talk so much about it. Let's do it. Let's do that together right now. So go ahead and just turn to the people around you without talking. Just get with them and start praying over each other. 3 minutes. Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, that you would, God bless us even as we sit here. Lord, even as we come together to pray to you as one body, as one mouth, as one heart, Lord, we ask you that the people sitting around us would be blessed. God, that every person in this room tonight would leave here knowing that you love them. Holy Spirit, that you want to live within them. God, that there's not one person here that is alone. There's not one person here who is so broken they can't be mended. God, every single one of us, we're sitting here in your presence tonight. You have your eye on us. You care about us and you love us. And Jesus, I pray that not one person would leave here feeling unloved or unnoticed. Jesus, let them know that they are among the body of Christ, your body. We are yours. Would you bless those areas where people come hurting tonight? Would you bless their families and the situations they face when they leave this place? Would you touch the hurting spots in their hearts tonight as they sit here and bring that to this place with them? Father, we lift all this up to you because, God, we know you can do it. And we know you care enough to do it. And so, Lord Jesus, we bring each other before you because we trust you as our God. Would you continue to be with us as we study the rest of this passage tonight? It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. As you guys quickly find your seats quietly. Let me ask you to look to that next phrase with me tonight where he says this next. Are you ready? He says, "And asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." Paul isn't just being like, hey, God, I want them to kind of get, you know, a little piece of this. Paul's saying, I want them to be absolutely filled, God. Filled with this knowledge of who you are. Not just like the school knowledge where you go study and memorize stuff for a test and forget it the next day. He's like, fill them in a way that is like this intimate knowledge they will never forget. Let them know you. Let them understand who you are. Let it change their heart and their life. So they'll literally look out the world and see it differently because they're like, I understand God better. He's filled me up. It's not just this knowledge that stays in their head. It's this knowledge of God's will for them. And you know what God's will is for us? You know, so often we're like, it's so hard to know what God wants. It's so difficult to understand the will of God. But it's really not that mystical, guys. It's this. He tells us very clearly, love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God's will is for you to love him with everything that you are. And the second is that you would love others like you love yourself. Love the people around you. It's not a difficult thing. And finally, he calls us to go into the world and bring that message to the world that Jesus died for them and rose from the dead and wants to save them. That's God's will. He's been very clear, very plain. Love him, love others, and go in the world with his gospel. Like, it's very, very clear and simple for us. And Satan would have you believe that it's confusing and difficult and unknowable, but it's not. It's right there for you just to say yes to it and obey it and do it. And Paul says, fill them with that. Let them understand it. Let their heart be filled up with this intimate knowledge of God's will for us. And he says this, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's not just this behavior change. Like, man, this kid over here is terrible. So God, I'm going to pray because his behavior is bad and I want him to change his behavior. That's not all that is being prayed here. He's saying, God, fill him up so much with who you are and what you want for his life that it fills him with spiritual wisdom and understanding. It changes his entire outlook from the inside out. It's not just this, how should I do life? How should my behavior change? But everything about me should change. My literal identity should change. I'm no longer an enemy of God. I'm now his child. I can live as his child now. That's a whole different life. That's an entirely different way to live, knowing the peace that comes to know God's not walking around trying to just squash me or punish me or send some lightning bolt at me, but God looks at me as his child and loves me and yes, will correct me and protect me and bring me in under his wing. That's my God. And if I'm filled up with that spiritual wisdom and understanding, I will live differently and make different choices because of it. Paul's like, change them from the inside out, God. Apply that. Let the Holy Spirit teach it to them so they can obey. And he says this, this is why, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This isn't just so to behave rightly, to behave at church, to make their parents happy. No, this is so that we literally walk and do life and live in a way that pleases God himself. We look like Jesus. He looks at us and says, I see my son in you. I see the blood that was spilled all over your life and all over your heart and all over your choices, because it wasn't just your behavior that changed. It was your heart that changed. Your whole life, your identity changed, and you're living like Jesus lives. Romans 12 tells us that. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't look just like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? And so he wants to do that in us and renew us so we can walk just like Jesus. And that is an exciting life to live. That's a whole lot different from maybe your perspective that maybe one time you held that said, man, church is about coming in, holding your hands, being quiet, acting all good, faking it. It's really boring. Jesus is like, I don't want that. I want to change you. I want to transform you. I want to fill your life up with me. I want it to be so exciting and so mind-blowing because you're going to be completely transformed and see everything through a whole new light. He wants this spiritual wisdom and understanding to fill you up. And when you walk that way, look what it says next. It says, fully pleasing to him. That's what pleases God. Not this fake, hey, I'm trying to be good Christian so people look at me, but this real identity change that happens when you say, Jesus, I want you more than everything else. You are better than everything else. And I want to live for you. And that's pleasing to him because you take your whole heart and you hand it over. You surrender it and say, it's yours. Take the whole thing. I'm not holding pieces back that you're not allowed to have or touch. God, my whole life is yours. Take it all. Do whatever you want with it. That's pleasing to him. We surrender at his feet. And this is what happens. It says, bearing fruit in every good work. When you're walking like Jesus and it's pleasing to the Lord, what happens is it bears fruit. It does some incredible things, right? The Holy Spirit inside of you is causing you to look different. You're getting the fruit of the Spirit, right? This honesty and love and purity and kindness and patience and goodness, all these things inside of you start to look like Jesus. And it's this fruit that other people see and love. It's a benefit to them to be around you because you're a different person now. He's replacing the broken things. He's replacing the sin and the gossip and the pride and the fighting and the conflict and all these things that make us just terrible to be around. And he's like, I'm going to replace them with fruit that people can pick up and enjoy because when they're with you, they see Jesus. It's like being around Jesus and hanging out with Jesus and being around you. They're getting to see the face, the hands, the feet of Jesus. This fruit is incredible, and he does things in you and through you. Causes other people to be able to have hope in their life who felt hopeless before. People who are just full of anxiety and brokenness find peace because he's working through you and the fruit that you bring. Your world is literally changing around you when you live this way. If you live like Christ, your culture, your home, your school, your community, it changes. Because God's not weak. And when God is in you, that is a powerful thing, and it changes things around you. Sometimes we ask the question, why does nothing change? And I wonder if it's because we're not really living it. We're changing the behavior. We're not taking the whole heart and saying, God, it's yours. You have to do this. God, I invite your power in me. I invite it to live through me and to change everything around me. You see, because when we do that, things change. God transforms everything. He doesn't just stop with you and your heart. He transforms all the people around you. That's how big and powerful and infinite God is. He wants to work through you. He wants to give you the choice to say, God, here I am. Use me. This fruit is for you and for others to enjoy. He says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is a cool cycle, right? The more you know, the more you surrender to the Lord, the more you learn about him. And that causes you to surrender even more, because now I'm like, you're awesome. I trust you more. Like, so yes, next time you ask, I'm stepping in because I trust you even more now. And it's this constant trust and step of faith. It's this cycle that causes me to know more and more intimately about who he is. You have that like best friend in your life that you know like everything about each other. It's like you're so comfortable around them. You can tell them anything. You can act any goofy way you want. Like there's this intimacy between you and that friend because of how close you are. And this thing with God is you abide in Christ and he abides in you. You spend time together. You begin to grow in that trust. You trust him. And you look forward to spending time with him. You look forward to that moment in the Bible where you get to just spend this hearing from him. That might sound very different from some of our experiences in reading the Bible right now. Some of us might dread, just, I could never do that. I couldn't spend 5 minutes reading. It's so boring. But when you start to spend time with Jesus, you thirst for it. I can't wait to hear more from you today. I can't wait to pray to you. I can't wait to spend time with you, to see what you're going to do in my life. I can't wait for you to show up today and shock me with the thing that you're going to show up and do, God, that I could never have planned out. But you're going to be there, and I'm going to know without a shadow of a doubt it was you that showed up. You know why? Because I've been praying for it. I wasn't really shocked. I knew you would show up. I knew you would do this. I've been praying for weeks or months for that thing. And then there you are. And when you showed up, I couldn't help but be like, that was you. You deserve all the glory. And this knowledge of who he is continues to increase as we spend more and more time with him. Some of us are so scared to take that step, though. That step into a relationship. We're afraid we're going to give up too much. We're scared we're going to lose too much. We're not going to be able to do too many things that we're really looking forward to do. It's like we're standing on this kind of high dive board and our toes are curled over the edge, you know? You ever been on a high dive board or jumped off a waterfall? You know what I'm talking about. And you're looking down and you're like about, you're on the edge and you're like, I'm there. Just an inch forward and I'm going. But then you look down and you're like, ah, and those toes curl. Grab onto that board and you're like, yeah, I don't know if I can do it. And all of a sudden you start to just kind of want to back out and you're like, nah, I don't think I can do it. Man, I've had some experiences on a high dive board. I'll tell you what, when growing up, we had this like public pool near my house and we were always down there, always on this high dive board. And so I have a few stories, you know, I'll tell you later, but my first time on this board, I got up there and all my friends had done it. It looked so cool and so easy. It looked like so much fun. And I got up there and I was on the end and my toes were curled and I was looking over the edge and I was like, uh-uh. But how you back out now? Like, all your friends are down there cheering you on. They've already done it. Like, you can't back out. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just going to force myself off this edge. And I did that thing where you just kind of dig deep. And it's like, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to go. You know, I didn't even count. And I did, but then halfway in my jump, I regretted it. And I started to turn. And my body turns completely around. And I go to, like, reach back to grab for the board. Like, don't ever do that. And I come down and I miss the board, but my face doesn't. And it hits me right here under the chin. And I do this. Like one of those. And I'm bleeding and I'm like kind of like knocked out in the water. All I remember is people like dragging me up to the side of the pool. You know, like I almost killed myself on the high dive board. Man, never lived it down. But I did remember the lesson. See, because we do that a lot in our walk with Christ too. Where we're like, Jesus, I'm all for it. I went to youth group tonight and there was some worship music that got me hyped. And the pastor talked and told some stories that got me hyped. And my friends got, and so I am like ready to do this. And then you go out into the world or back to school the next day. And you're ready to take that jump for Jesus. That scary thing to stand up for your faith, to be vocal about who God is in your life or whatever it might be. And you're jumping. And then all of a sudden you're like, nah. Halfway through your jump, you're turning back. And a lot of us hit our chin on the board and we're like, man, I'm never doing that again. I can't do that again. But God is telling you this tonight. The more steps of faith you take, the deeper that knowledge of who he is going to grow, the more intimate it's going to become. Just jump off. Just jump off and trust him. Trust him that he is worthy, that he's strong, that he's big, that he will never let you down. Just trust him and see what he'll do. Don't be like me and turn back around. You know that old hymn, no turning back, no turning back. Like, don't turn back. Follow Jesus. Jump off the board and say, God, wherever you send me, here I am. I'm going to do this thing. Look what Paul says in verse 11. He says, may you be strengthened with all power. God doesn't call you and then not empower you. He's not saying, hey, jump off this thing. It's going to be real scary and I'm not going to help you. That's not what he says. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how to do it, and I'm going to help you do it, and I'm going to be with you through the entire thing. I'm going to fill you with this strength. He says, may you be strengthened with all power too. It's not just a little bit. Paul's praying so that all power fills you. So many Christians walk around feeling weak and powerless. So many students your age go to school and feel like there's nothing they can do on their campus to change anything about it. You go back to a house that isn't living for Jesus, where your family's broken and you feel powerless to do a thing about it in that house. You hang out with a group of friends who are far from Jesus and you feel powerless in that group. And Paul says, God, fill them with all power. Do you realize that the power of an eternal, infinite God is literally living within you? How dare we look up and say, but how will this ever happen? We're right to say that we can't. But we're wrong to think that God can't through you. Because he's living in you. And he's not weak. And he wants to change that family. He wants to change that school campus. He wants to change that sports team that you're on or that group of friends you're with. God wants to work. And he's waiting for you to jump on board and say, all right, God, I'm on board with this. Work through me. Use me. I know that all power is right here because you're here. And tell him, yes, let's go. May you be strengthened with all power, Paul says, according to his glorious might. That's the level of power. God's glorious might. And guess what? It's infinite. It's infinite. There's no end to it. The power that is available to you is boundless if you are asking God to do it. For all endurance and patience with joy. Now, here's something you got to watch. Look at that word, endurance. That means that along the way, we will have to endure some things. That the road might not be super easy. It's not going to be this superhero, like everything's just great now because I have superpowers. It's going to be this thing where I say, God, I'm willing to go. And there will be trials and tests along the way. There might be some persecution along the way. There might be some loss along the way. And God's going to come along and give you the endurance and the patience to go through those with joy. Because now your perspective is changing. It's coming into focus what's actually important. And when we lose some of the things that aren't, God starts to strip some of that sin away and some of those bad things out of our lives. We're starting to see this clear picture of what really does matter. Man, I lost this, but you know what? I haven't lost a thing because I still have my God. I have his promise. I have eternity. I have Jesus walking with me every single day. I can endure this with joy in my heart because I'm never losing Jesus. No one can ever take Jesus away from me. And then it causes me to do this next thing. It says, giving thanks to the Father. When you realize that and your perspective becomes clearer, you're able to look up at God, even in hard times and trials, and go, thank you. And people are like, how are you thanking him right now? Do you see what's happening in your life? And you're like, yeah, because I still have Jesus. I still have his promise. I still have eternal life. None of that is lost to me. I have so much to thank the Lord for tonight. And it builds up inside of us this thankfulness to God, and we're able to be grateful. It says, who has qualified you. That's this culture word. It's very significant to them in their time to say this word, qualified, right? To qualify you to share in the inheritance of the saints. Like, you have been given this gift, granted this inheritance. You don't deserve it. Jesus stepped in. God said, I'm going to grant this thing, qualify this thing through Jesus in you, and you're going to get a gift that you don't deserve to be able to stand up. And it says, of saints in light. I'm pulling you out of the darkness. I could have left you in death. I could have left you broken. I could have left you lost in the darkness. But instead, I'm bringing you this free gift through my son to pull you into light so you can see clearly. You can see the path ahead of you and know what life is really about and see the most important thing. You can see God and what he wants for you. And you can see this, that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Some of you guys are here tonight and you feel hopeless. If you were honest, you would tell us tonight that in your heart, there's like no hope. You're wondering about tomorrow. You're wondering about tonight. How will this ever change? God is here to tell you. He is ready to pull you up from that darkness, to let you stand firmly in the light next to him, to know there is hope, to know there is a purpose, to fill your heart with that peace that he just talked about promising you. That's what he wants to do in you. And here's how he does it. It says, and transferred us, moved us over from one place to the other, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Listen. God wants to take you out of the world and let you stand in his kingdom. Some of us want to stay firmly planted in the world. And as long as that's what you want, he's going to leave you there. He's giving you the choice. But tonight, you don't have to stay there. You can lift your hands up and say, God, pull me out. God, I want to be a part of your family. Part of your kingdom. I want to see this thing clearly. In whom we have, listen to this, the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know what that is? That's the gospel. That's the good news. All of this stuff that Paul's praying for is made possible because of those last few words. You and I have the ability to be redeemed by Jesus. Redeemed, to be taken back, bought back from this world that's holding us as slaves. He's buying us back with the blood of his son. To be his again. To be back in his family. To forgive our sins. You're here tonight, you're like, man, I don't have any sin. You're lying to yourself. Because every single one of us, myself included, stands here a sinner. loves us. God loves us so much that he said, my son Jesus will die for your sin, redeem you, and forgive you. And tonight, Jesus wants to forgive your sin. He doesn't just want your behavior to change. He doesn't just want you to pray some emotional prayer. He wants you to take your heart and your whole life and say, God, from now on, it's yours. He says that when we do that, when we offer him our lives, he will forgive our sin and save us and make us his. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Can I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second? As the band comes up and leads us in another song, would you just quietly where you're sitting or standing, would you take a second just to say, God, have I ever actually taken my whole heart, my whole life, and given it to you? Has there been a moment where I've surrendered myself and it's changed me? Not just my behavior, but it's changed all of me. God, am I walking with you each day? Is there this relationship that's happening where you're filling me with your knowledge to love you and love others and go into the world with your gospel? Or am I still just treading water? Living the same old life of sin, doing the same things with the same friends, and there's no change in me. God, will you show me that right now?